Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was gonna do. Pardon?
And our strength to.
Okay.
Okay, let's board, anybody wants to lay hands on these people, we're gonna pray for them. Jim, you wanna open up, anybody else wants to pray, we'll pray after that.
Father, we just thank you, Father, your word says that, that you're the healer, that you provide our salvation, Father. Not only does our salvation include saving us from a lake of fire and letting us spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, but Father, salvation includes our healing, our finances. And we just thank you, Father, that this man is healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus took stripes on his back for our healing. And we thank you that he's healed from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And I just claim that I speak to every cell, every organ, every part of his being. You line up with the word of God in Jesus' name. And every evil, foul thing has to bow its knee to Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you that cancer is not of God.
Amen.
Jesus didn't give that to him. God didn't give that to him. That's the enemy.
Amen.
We come against you, Satan. You bow your knee to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you. He's healed, Father, in Jesus' name. We're all in agreement according to Matthew 18:19. You said if any two of you would agree as touching anything, it would be done for them by their Father who's in heaven. And Father, we're all in agreement for this man's healing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you for it, Father.
Thank you. Thank you.
Blessings out to you.
Amen. Anybody else, as long as we're praying, if you have, anybody have a need, we're here to pray. Amen. We just pray for Skeet right now, Lord. We just thank you that you've already prepared the way, Father, for him to come home. Thank you, Lord, that your angels are with him, Lord, as he comes home. We thank you for a safe arrival and a quick, uneventful trip, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kelly's sister lost her husband. He was like 81 and they did surgery on him. He had open heart surgery and then he's a Vietnam veteran, so I don't know if it was Agent Orange or whatever on his lungs, but they said when they did the surgery that they had to scrape his lungs. And anyway, he was in the hospital for about 6 days and then he didn't make it. So her name's Kim. It's Kelly's older sister. And yeah, her brother just lost his wife, closed with pancreatic cancer. So pray for her and for Kip, her brother. And yeah, pray for both of them. And you might also, she asked me if I was due to you to be your sister. The funeral was going to be April 11th. So just pray that I'll be able to do that without getting choked up.
Yes, Lord, we do lift up this whole family, Lord, for all that they've been through, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that they're home with you. We just pray for comfort, Lord, for the surviving family. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be their comforter and their counselor, Lord, that and the decisions they need to make, especially, Lord, that they make wise decisions, Father, in the days ahead. Thank you for your strength, your comfort. Thank you for your revelation to them, Lord. And especially, Lord, that we know that you will give Jim just the right words, Father, at this eulogy, Lord, that your spirit would be speaking through him, Lord, to minister to all the people there, Lord, especially anybody who doesn't know your son as Savior, Lord. We just pray that the word that you speak through Jim would bring them to you, Lord, that this could be a great time of rejoicing, Father, in this eulogy, Lord, and not just a time of sorrow and remembrance, but a time of rejoicing, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for that you will do this through Jim in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye. Okay, one more time. I think we need to pray for Wanda.
Yeah, I have a situation, but it's going to be
Well, all right, well, we're going to pray for you anyway. Anybody from the board, anybody else y'all want to come up here? Okay. Put you on the spot, Jimmy, you're out of praise, so you just speak to him.
Father, we just praise you and thank you for Wanda, Father. We think she's our sister in the Lord, Father. I think that she walks herself from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Father.
Amen. We just Amen.
Praise you and thank you that whatever it is there that's not of God, Father, we curse it at the roots in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And thank you that Wanda's healed by the stripes of Jesus, Father.
Yes.
And we just praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Praise you.
Praise
you.
Praise
you. I'm praise you all the time.
Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just rejoice and be glad in God.
That's why I'm happy all the time.
Praise God. Amen.
Okay. Now that you sat down, James, we're going to take communion if the two regular volunteers would come and... I want to take the time to read a passage out of the scripture about the Lord's Supper. This is in 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, and this is the word that was given to Paul, even though he wasn't there. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is the reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Lord, we just partake of your broken body in remembrance of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you were obedient even to the death of the cross for us. As we take the bread, Lord, that was broken for us, receive the benefits in Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for the new covenant that it sealed forever and all the benefits we receive from the new covenant because of what you did. And we take this cup, Lord, thanking you for what your blood did for us, and we receive what you have for us, Jesus, as we take this in your name, Lord. Amen. Okay, y'all, I'm not really very polished at this, and so So, but I think I really like to bring this morning what I feel like the Lord wanted me to do is really important. And this has been on my heart for years, and I've preached or taught on this a long time ago. But in this day and time, I think it's really, really important. When y'all pray, I know we ask for things and all that kind of stuff, but there's one thing I think that we often forget to pray for that's more important than anything else. Just think, man, what's some of the important things that you pray for on a regular basis? Pardon? Okay. What about personally? What do you pray for personally on a regular basis? Okay, those are all important. Anything else? Oh. No. I don't care much for that. Yeah. Okay. All right. How many people in here, how many of you are wise people? You are? Okay. Okay. As Christians, especially in this day and time, I think one thing that we ought to be on our list on a regular basis, if not every day, is to pray for wisdom. And not our wisdom, the Lord's wisdom. But one of my favorite verses in the scripture, James 1:5, says, if any of you lack wisdom, does anybody in here lack wisdom?
Yes.
Yeah. We might think we're wise in some situations, but we're not. Anyway, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with nothing, with no doubting at all. Okay, what does it say? What would God give to us liberally and without reproach? Okay, his wisdom, right? But let him ask in faith. It does take some faith to receive wisdom from God, doesn't it? We receive everything from the Lord in faith, right? Other than the things that he's already promised us that we don't have to have faith for. There are most of what we need faith to believe for, right? Okay. Okay, there's two kinds of wisdom on the earth. That's an easy question. Where does it come from? The two kinds of wisdom. What? Okay. God's wisdom and man's wisdom, right? Or the world, okay, the world's wisdom, okay? As Christians, how often should we depend on the world's wisdom? But, what do we usually end up doing if we're not real careful? Yeah, the world's wisdom, right? Okay, let's go back to James. James 3:14-17 says, this is about heavenly and demonic wisdom. You see, the world's wisdom is really what kind of wisdom? In the scripture, there's only two kinds I can find of. There's God's wisdom, then there's earthly wisdom, which is what? It says right here. It's demonic, right? Those are pretty hard words, right? Okay. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Pure and simple. Okay, Proverbs is pretty much a book of wisdom. Now, you can find lots of scriptures in Proverbs. These are a few that I like. And this is not talking about earthly wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." Proverbs 3:7 says, and this is really good, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." You know, how many people think they know it all and all that good stuff? "Happy is the man who finds wisdom." That's in Proverbs 3:13. 3:15 says, "All things you may desire cannot compare with her." Talking about wisdom. Have you ever thought about that? All things you may desire, all things you may desire cannot compare with what? Wisdom, right? The Lord, and this is a good one too. "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth." Do we ever think about that? With all his knowledge and everything, he used that wisdom from that to create the world. Wisdom is the principal, this is Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Anybody believe that? Do we really? Therefore, get what? Wisdom, right? If you get wisdom, yeah, you don't. No, that's pretty practical. Okay, and this one, we all know this one, Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?" Wisdom, okay. Now, here's some in the New Testament. I like to use lots of scripture because then you don't have to preach much. The scripture speaks for itself, and there's a lot of good scriptures about wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus." Now, y'all listen to this because we've read this a lot of times and heard it. "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Those are four really important things, right? Do you think it's an accident that wisdom is listed first? I mean, it's up there with the same as righteousness, which is a gift. Sanctification, which is a gift. Redemption, which is a gift. But you know what? It takes faith to have wisdom. That's the only one of the four that I can see. It's not just free, it's given to us. And faith is given to us, wisdom, but it takes faith to use it. But here's a good one, too, talking about worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." 1 Corinthians 3:20. For Corinthians, I was surprised how many scriptures it had on wisdom. We always think of the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians. But there's a lot in there about wisdom. "The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." 1 Corinthians 2:5. "Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." It's still not talking about two kinds of wisdom, and that's all there is, two kinds. And Colossians has a good scripture too. "Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The treasures of wisdom are not hidden from us, but they are for us in Jesus Christ. Okay, this is rough. Do y'all know, we're talking about wisdom, do you know what wisdom is? If somebody asked you what it was, could you tell them? I really couldn't, it's kind of hard. Yeah. The truth, okay. Wisdom, I looked this up, and it, you know, we all know this, or should. Wisdom is insight. This is the part I like. The ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. And where is that coming from? Okay, it's coming from God, right? Okay. I'm going to get kind of practical on this. I may step on some toes. I may get into something I shouldn't. You know, we live in a time of great deception. Would you agree? And how often are we as Christians deceived into believing something that's not so? What does the media do when they report the news, most of them? They lie to. Okay. That's right. Exactly right, right. You can't believe everything that you hear or everything that you see, because if, remember, the wisdom of the world is demonic, right? That's a tough thing. People say, oh, no, that's not really true. Yeah, it is. The scripture says there's two kinds of wisdom. There's no gray areas with God. I don't think there is. It's either this or that. It's not a mixture. I think we should think who we are listening to, who we're basing our decisions on, and why. So much of what is in the world is not wisdom. It's demonic. And too many times we listen to what's demonic because it sounds good. It always sounds good. But they don't tell you the truth behind it, the result. It sounds good, but the truth is not always there. There may be a partial truth, but it's not always there. You know, when they give you the news, they'll give you some of the truth that they want you to hear. But the real truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, they don't want to give you, and they're not going to, sad to say. Exactly, yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, let's see. Jesus said, talking about being deceived, and that's what we're talking about. They're deceiving us, lying to us, right? You know, it's wisdom and deception. They don't work together. And I think in the world today, we have a lot of the truth, but we also have a lot of wisdom, earthly wisdom, that is not the truth. And as Christians, we really need to be careful, because we can be deceived if we're not. In Luke 21:8, Jesus, talking about deception, said, "Take heed that you might not be deceived." Right? Does that not speak to all of us? "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Do not go after them." 2 John 7 says, "For many," and the word, like, you know, talk about many, "many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." So if you're listening to people, or people are giving advice or their wisdom, what does it say? How do you know they're for real or not? You have to confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Is that easy, right? We don't think about it that way, but that's the only kind of wisdom you need to listen to from anyone. Don't listen to people who come in my name and saying, "I am he." Do not go after them. The many deceivers who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Revelation 12:9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. So what kind of world are we living in? If we're living outside the Lord or his wisdom of the scripture, we are deceived, right? Okay, real practicality, I'll tell you, and this has to do with each and every one of us. I'm old now, and I think about when I was young, how stupid I was. When I made decisions, even after I became a Christian, I rarely sought the wisdom of God. Almost never. You think you're doing the right thing, and you think you're trusting the Lord, but you know what? You need to ask for wisdom. The scripture says, ask for wisdom. That should be a lifestyle for us. When we pray, Lord, give me wisdom. It says wisdom is the principal thing. I think, maybe I shouldn't say that. I think wisdom for ourselves personally should be the top priority. Ask God for wisdom, that we're not deceived by the world and we're not deceived by other people, like the scripture talks about. You know, it's not hard when you have decisions to make, and I'm not talking about big decisions, but those decisions especially, everyday decision that we make, we need to know what God's counsel or his wisdom is. We ought to make it a habit, and it would keep us out of a lot of trouble. I can think of the stupid things that I've done or said, and you get to thinking back. You didn't ask counsel of the Lord. You didn't ask his wisdom. And all you got to do is ask. That's all you got to do is ask. And the scripture says in James, he will give it to you, but you need to ask. It's not always automatic. But those four things that were mentioned, you know, that wisdom was listed first, above all four. And I don't think that was an accident or the translators made a mistake. Wisdom is the principal thing, especially for us as Christians. With the stuff that's going on in our country right now, with the politicians and the elections coming up, I tell you what, there's a lot of those guys who are running for office and a lot of women too. They ain't telling you the whole truth. They want to tell you what they think you want to hear, not what you need to hear. You need to be careful who you're listening to and what they're saying. Because the scripture says that there are many deceivers gone out into the world. And they can talk slick. I mean, they can talk to you, and man, they can sound so good, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that from them, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And you say, oh, Lord, is this the truth? Are these people really telling us the truth? What is your wisdom on what's going on? And I think sometimes we would be shocked at what he would tell us. But I think of how many people, Christians especially, they don't think about what they're doing. I don't want to get into politics. Well, politics is a way of life. Whether you like it or not, I don't care for it either. But we need to have wisdom when we listen to what they say and what they're doing. And it may sound good and it may look really good, but they're not telling you the whole truth. You can't depend on your own wisdom. You need to ask of God, what is the truth here? What is the truth of what's going on in our government? What's going on in our school? Man, the stuff that's going on in our schools is unreal. And they're not going to tell you that. I mean, there are some really good people in education, and I know some. But I tell you what, I'll tell you, the system has been taken over. And it's not godly. It's not at all. I think it was at one time. I think when I was a kid, when we opened with prayer, you know, at least there was an opening for God, for the Lord to work, but we shut him out. And he's not going to go where he's not wanted. He's not going to go where he's not wanted. So we need to have wisdom in every area of life, whatever we're doing, even small decisions, what to do during the day. Whatever our lives are consisted of, we need to have wisdom. When we need to ask God for his wisdom and not depend on what the world's telling us. Like I said, it says to James, just ask and he'll give it to you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But you have to have the faith to use it. So anyway, maybe I didn't say everything I should have, or maybe I said things I should not have said. But personally, I can really make a mess when I'm not asking the Lord for his wisdom, whether at work or whatever thing. And I don't know, I shouldn't say. No, I'm not going to. I've had things happen in my life that I knew, because I had asked the Lord about it, he did perform a miracle, and it was the only way to describe it, that he did intervene. When you ask him for his wisdom and you don't depend on your own, I'll tell you what, we may think we're really smart, but you know what? Sometimes we can really be dumb when you're not trusting in the Lord, because if you're not, the devil is right there to help you out. I guarantee you he is. And it seems like a simple thing to do and to talk about, but like the scripture says, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. Above all else, wisdom, God's wisdom, is essential for us to survive, especially in these last days with the deception and all the stuff that's going on. We need to ask God, what is your wisdom, Lord? How should I make this decision? Is this right or is this wrong? What is your wisdom? What is your mind on this? We have the mind of Christ, but we have to ask for his wisdom. It's just not automatic. And so I just think in this day and time, no matter who we are, how old we are, how young we are, how many stupid mistakes we might have made, we need wisdom more than we need anything else, I really believe, in this day and time. So anyway, thank you for your patience. Any of y'all want to say anything? Maybe you've been smarter than me, I hope. Lift up these new people in the county that are coming into office. And Lord, we don't know all the things they think, all the things they believe, but we're just trusting you, Lord, that your wisdom would become evident to them, Lord, that they would make righteous, wise decisions, Lord, even when they don't know they're doing it. We just pray for each one of those that may not know you, Lord, that they would find you, Father. We thank you, Lord, even those who aren't, that don't know you, Lord, you could even use them, Father, to accomplish your will in this county. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just pray for the new officers coming in and the ones that are still there, that your will be done, that there will be a change, Lord, in our county, that there would be more righteous decisions, that things would be as you would have them to be. And we pray, Lord, that for our education system, Lord, and our kids, the things that they're being taught and the things they're not being taught, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, for your intervention. And we pray for our president, Lord. We believe you put him in office. We thank you that he is going to accomplish your will in this nation. We pray for his divine protection, for divine wisdom, Lord, especially. And we pray for our believers, our fellow believers, and brothers and sisters in Iran, Lord, for their protection, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the move of your spirit throughout the Muslim world, Lord. We know you're doing things that we don't even hear about, and we thank you for that, Lord. We just praise you. Thank you, Lord, for turning our country around, Father. We know, Lord, that is your decision and your will for wise, righteous people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Any of y'all want to pray anything?